Welcome to the Proud Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm happy to have Ken Wise on the show with me today. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
No problem. I was happy to get you on after you emailed me, I think, from listening to the show before.
Well, I've been listening. I've listened to almost every episode, if not every episode. And I thought the Glistening Particles episode was great for new podcasters, and I've been communicating with a couple of new podcasters through some Facebook communities, and it was just nice to hear new podcasters talk about getting started, because that seems to be the toughest thing for a new podcaster to do is just pull the trigger and record.
Yes, it is. Well, yeah, I'm happy that we connected. So you have a show called Wise About Texas that we'll talk about later in this episode, and right now, we have some news, my Chronicle. We'll talk about your show, some more news, and that'll be it.
All right.
Okay. So the first news clip that I wanted to talk about was actually a press release that went out yesterday or today, early November. And it's from Two Guys Talking Podcast Network. And it's headquartered in St. Louis. And they have opened up a second location to record podcast. Seems really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting. When I was looking at the press release, I kind of surfed through their website, and they've got quite the operation going on.
They seem to. They started this back in 2004, you know, when podcasting was just becoming a thing, or just becoming, you know, popular. So they've been doing this a long time.
They have been. I think back then in 04, a podcast really had to be on an iPod, didn't it? I don't even think we had iPhones back then.
We did not. And if you ask people like Todd and Mike that I work with, and I'm sure anyone else that has been around a long time, they'll tell you that podcasting existed even before iPods.
Really?
Yes, they will. You mention that and they will dive in.
Oh, boy. All right.
Anyway, so this is their second location. The press release didn't mention when they opened up the first one, but it's saying that they are welcoming all types of podcasters, new people, people that have been doing this a long time, and like networks, solo shows, interview shows, it doesn't matter. They will just let you come in and record, and they will do everything else. They will edit it for you. They will publish it for you. They will probably promote it for you, all of that. So that's pretty simple.
Well, you know, the great thing about America is that, you know, somebody will, an entrepreneur will fill the gap when there's some sort of creative endeavor that involves technical stuff like podcasting. You know, a lot of the technical stuff is the stuff that the podcast creator doesn't really want to do, or that's the steeper learning curve. And it's nice that, you know, you can have this situation where they can fill in. I think it's a great business idea.
So do I. A couple episodes ago, I was discussing another studio like this. They called it a podcast garage, and it was in the Boston area, and it opened up, I think, this fall, and it seems to be doing well that they're having people go in, and it's basically the same thing. And I was talking about on that episode that we were going to be seeing more and more of these, and I don't even know that this one existed in St. Louis, let alone that now there's a second one.
Right. Well, obviously, if they got a second location, they're doing something right. You know, I'm curious kind of what the economics are. I would suspect that it's for a burgeoning podcaster, it's probably a great deal, especially at first, because you do have to invest a little bit in your equipment if you want to do a decent show. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those. I'm of the school that I think your audio needs to be good, and that you ought to do the best you can do and can afford to do. And it might be nice to have this opportunity if you're a creative, if you're more toward the creative and less toward the technical, which I think most podcasters probably are, at least at first, then this is a great opportunity to go in and become instantly professional. Because I there's nothing I hate worse than a podcast. You find a podcast, you're excited, you're looking forward to listening to it, and then the audio is so bad, you know, you lose me. And I suspect a large percentage of people that listen to podcasts, they'll just quit listening if they can't hear it.
I would say I'm in the same boat. I prefer quality audio along with the quality content, because if you have that good content, but you have a show that is difficult to listen to or just unpleasant, I'm gone.
Yeah, me too.
So this will, and you know, you make a good point that a lot of podcasters are interested in the conversation of the podcast, the actual recording, what you're talking about, not the technical side of it at all. So this is an easy way for people to be excited about it and not be so overwhelmed, because that is something that happens to a lot of podcasters. That's even happened to me a lot, trying to figure out, you know, how this recording is going and what I can change for it and all of that. So having someone take care of that for you lets you focus on what you're actually providing to the people.
I think that's right. And as I've gotten more and more into the podcaster side and podcast community side, as my show has progressed, I've discovered that two things, one that everybody says most podcasts don't make it past just a few early episodes. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason is that you bump up pretty quickly against the harsh truth that it's not enough to just record a show, even if it's good. You've got to publicize it, which is a whole, you know, science of its own, marketing. Mm-hmm. You've got to record it well, which is a whole science of its own, engineering. And, you know, thank goodness for Blueberry, we can get it published very easy, but you still got to do the other stuff. And I think when people realize how much work it is to get people to listen, I think they just kind of peter out, probably.
You are correct. It's,
it looks like
a lot
these
of
two
work.
Guys can get it done, so that's nice.
Yeah. I don't see anything about pricing in this press release, but they do include a phone number and the address of it and everything, and it says that all visits to the facility can be made on a by-appointment basis, which makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I still think, just my gut tells me, for a brand new podcaster, if you've got a great idea and you're willing to just do those first four or five episodes, I think it's a neat thing, because they're going to hand you, sounds to me like they're going to hand you a product. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tried to release four episodes at one time, which I did, but you know, it took me days and days and hours to get all that stuff recorded and where I needed it to be.
Oh yeah.
And boy, if I could eliminate that step and just see if anyone was going to listen and that would be so nice. Would have mm-hmm. been so nice. Too late now.
Lesson learned.
That's right.
Yeah, I think this will be great for all types of podcasters, even just the ones that, you know, are comfortable with the technology but don't have a good place for it, or don't want to have it at their home, or don't want to purchase all of this stuff. They could just go somewhere else and then, you know, do the other stuff by themselves at home.
And I think it's probably a good idea for the two guys talking network, because they're always, I'm sure, looking for more new shows, and this is sort of a good way for them to recruit, seems to me.
Exactly. This is a good way for them to find hosts, to find good shows, because they've listed, I think, like five different popular shows that they have in their network, so they seem to be doing pretty well. I'm looking forward to seeing how this goes for them. And if they continue to open up new locations.
Well, and the whole idea of a podcast network, which of course you've covered many times, is pretty interesting to me. As podcasting grows, you know, just like radio networks formed, mm-hmm. now you've got these podcasting networks, and it's going to be interesting to see if these networks can create some, I don't know, brand loyalty is probably not the right word, but just some loyalty to the network, and whether they start to specialize or something like that. It's pretty interesting.
I don't think brand loyalty is necessarily a bad word for it. I don't know if it's the correct word, but it's on the right track.
Some sort of loyalty.
Yeah, there's some sort of loyalty there. Well, anyone that is in the St. Louis area, you can go to the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network podcasting studio. So we'll include this press release in the show notes, and you can look for it there and get more information on it. So next, I wanted to talk about my podcast, Chronicle. I don't think I had one last episode with Mike, but this week I just wanted to give you guys an update. So about a month ago, we moved the Blueberry Podcasting Studio from the main office into a much smaller room that is separate. And I was excited about that. And then last week, we had Todd and Mike come visit from out of town for a couple days. And the three of us, and when I say three, I mean mostly Todd and Mike, they revamped the studio. They got a different computer for it. We set things up differently, and it seems to be going well. So I'm happy with it. And hopefully less stress that way. just last time it was coming in not consistently, which kind of drove me insane. So I'm happy that this should be able to stay the same every time that I turn on to record, that it will give me the same result. So I'm looking forward to that.
Anything that makes it easier to record, I'm for.
Right, because that's one less thing that you have to worry about. Because it quickly, all of the time that you can spend on a podcast, just one episode, it adds up.
Tell me about it.
It adds up like a lot. Sometimes for me, just, you know, making sure that everything is set up correctly beforehand is the best thing that's going to make you feel better about the episode. It really is. So I'm looking at this and it seems to be okay.
Now, the key to the whole thing is the keep outside on the door.
You know, actually, Angelo was kind of joking. He's like, we should get a sign that you can put on the door for it. And what I've done is just lock it.
There you go.
Just locked the door.
Lock up the mixer so nobody can move the faders or the knobs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That is my podcast chronicle for this week. Okay, so next up, I want to talk about you, Ken, and your podcast is called Wise About Texas, the Texas History Podcast, and you've been doing this for about a year, correct?
I have been doing it for exactly a year and one day. Yesterday was the one-year anniversary.
Oh, really? Congratulations.
Well, thank you. It was my goal was to launch it on my birthday, 2015, mm-hmm. which is November 1st, and of course, I missed my first deadline and launched it on November 2nd, but we did get it out and doing an episode every other Monday most of the time, but I only missed a couple of those schedules, but
that's pretty
good.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of fun.
You are also a judge in Houston, is that correct?
I am, yeah. I'm an appeals court judge in Texas, and my court sits in Houston, and we have Houston and nine surrounding counties in our appellate district.
So you know quite a bit of history based on that, and then you have a long-standing history of your family being in Texas?
Yes, my family, both sides, go back to the 1800s, one side to the earliest days of the Republic of Texas, wow. right after the Revolution. And for a national audience, that doesn't sound like a huge deal, but for Texans, we take so much pride in, you know, our history and going back as far as you can go. And if you get a bunch of Texans together talking about history, in the first 5 minutes, everyone's going to be trying to remember their oldest ancestor. But when you have that situation, you grow up with it and it's just a part of your life. So it's been a part of my life since I was a kid.
So is that what, you know, wanted to make you start a podcast?
Well, really what did it, I've got two elementary school age kids, which keep me running, and being a judge is absolutely a full-time job. Mm-hmm. So writing books and writing articles, which are more traditional historical pursuits, there's just not a lot of time for that. And I was getting some encouragement from some professional historians to do something with all of the stories and books and stuff that I have, and my passion really is what it amounts to. That's a word that we use a lot in podcasting, and I truly have the passion for Texas history. And so they essentially sort of kicked me in the pants and said, go do something to contribute to the record, so to speak. And so through a couple of accidents, I just thought, well, why don't I do a podcast? And I investigated how to do it. And I'm also, I complained earlier about the audio part of this, but deep down inside, I love buying gear for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was an excuse. I had a little bit of the gear, but this was an excuse to buy a mixer and learn some new stuff, learn some technical stuff.
Easy to get excited about it.
Right, exactly. And, you know, up my social media game a little bit. And so I thought, well, I'll give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do four episodes, because one of the dozens of How to Podcast podcasts I listened to said, we'll launch with four episodes. So I did an introduction, and then I did four real episodes. And I put it out there, and it has continued to grow ever since. I'm going to hit probably 50,000 downloads sometime before the end of this month, which I really have no idea if that's a lot or a little, but it sounds like a good number to me.
No, it is. It is good.
And it continues to grow. And so, and with basically no marketing other than social media. So it's just a lot of fun. And I'm going to do the Texas history stuff anyway. And so rather than bore my closest friends with the stories, I'm going to try to produce them in a way that a lot of people can enjoy them, and that younger people can get into it. I mean, podcasting is still a relatively new way to communicate messages of various types. It's an absolutely new way to do traditional historical scholarship.
Mm-hmm. I agree. When I was in school, we never really had podcasts to listen to for any history or any lessons or anything like that. And now it's definitely being used. So this is a great way to, you know, expand your audience into that a little bit.
Yeah. And when people ask, well, what's it like? My sort of my tagline is journal level scholarship and back porch storytelling, because trained as a lawyer, I'm trained to research, I'm trained to gather evidence, I'm trained to evaluate and interpret facts. The sources and context that I'm doing that in are a little bit different than a professional historian would be trained in, but it's the same sort of thing. And so when you're an avocational historian, I sort of consider myself an avocational historian with a capital A, because I know how to do the research, and I love it. I love the detective work, and I want the scholarship for the podcast to be as high a quality as it can be. But, you know, if you produce a podcast where I sit down and read a bunch of historical sources, that's going to be just incredibly boring. And so you got to get that kind of back porch storytelling style, which I have naturally anyway. And I'm trying to combine those two. And hopefully, if you listen to it, you learn something, you're entertained, or both.
I think that's a great tagline. The journalistic and back porch story. I think you should use that in your own social media marketing.
Well, I'm going to register that trademark later today.
Seriously, do it and use that. And that gives a good, you know, a good idea of what to expect from your podcast. And that's getting people to listen to a podcast is easier said than done, because it takes time for them to listen to it. And a lot of the time I feel like people want a clip, or they want to know what they're getting into. And that's a good way to give them an idea.
Yeah, I think so. And when you start talking about words like scholarship or journals or stuff like that, you kind of make people nervous. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, I took the script from my first episode, and at the request of the Texas Supreme Court Historical Society Journal, I turned it into an article. So I'm hitting the mark when it comes to that scholarship. Now, not every story, some stories that I've done are a lot more entertaining than they are historical. I did an episode on the first guy to fly an airplane, which actually happened in Texas in 1865, 38 mm-hmm. years before the Wright brothers. Well, there wasn't a lot of scholarship on that event. there was enough, but there wasn't the kind of, you know, hardcore primary sources that you might find when you're covering, you know, the Battle of the Alamo or something like that. So the story's a lot more fun to tell than it is to research. But some stories, you know, you research the heck out of them. And then the challenge is to go and tell that story in a way that people are going to find interesting.
Right. You're trained to develop all the facts and information about the situation. And then now for this podcast, you're taking all of that training and have to turn it into a story.
Right.
So,
and it's, but it's a good challenge. It's a lot of fun and keeps me off the streets.
I guess so. I think that's a good thing for a judge.
As I explained to me, it's true. As I explained to my wife, I said, you know, as midlife crises go, it could be a lot worse.
It could.
So, I think this is a pretty good project.
It really could. So you've been doing this for about a year, and it looks like you have almost 30 episodes. You have 29 episodes now. So that's pretty good. And
29 and a couple of bonus episodes in there.
Good. Those bonus episodes help you get some new, I think, get some new listeners every once in a while.
I hope so.
I see that you're using, your Blueberry hosting customer, it looks like, based on the fact that you're using our player and that you have PowerPress set up. So what do you like or dislike about PowerPress? How does it help your show?
Well, without question, what I like the most is how easy it is. You know, when I was trying to figure out, and the whole website part of this is probably the part I know the least about. But, you know, you get on WordPress, and WordPress is fairly easy, but you do need to learn some of the terms and the lingo and how to navigate around. So I was doing that and discovered the PowerPress plugin, which I immediately put in there. Well, now all of a sudden, it was simple. You know, it was two or three clicks and your episode is up there. And the hard part became, you know, how are you going to describe it? What pictures are you going to use? And that ought to be the hard part, the creative part. And so that's just so nice and has made my life so much easier. And it's never had a glitch, never crashed, no problem whatsoever, which I just think is awesome and worth the price of admission for sure. And the other thing that I love so much about the Blueberry situation is the statistics, because every new podcaster is obsessed with statistics, and I'm not so new anymore, and I'm still obsessed with statistics. And so, I mean, and I don't know if that's just an artist insecurity or what it is, but, you know, I like to look at the statistics, and the Blueberry statistics are really easy to see and easy to interpret. And more reliable, I think. So it's been great.
We also think they're more reliable than a lot of other companies out there.
Yeah, because podcast statistics, you know, it's a little bit of voodoo. It's sort of like political polls. But it's the way y'all do it seems to be much more reliable. And if I, you know, honest, I was using PowerPress, but the statistics really are what convinced me to go to Blueberry. But now it's just such a stable thing. And the other thing I like about my Blueberry experience is that the people at Blueberry seem to be, you know, all about the podcast community and all about helping podcasters do their thing and whether they need technical help or what have you. And that's just nice to know that we're kind of all on the same team.
That, I mean, that's what we want to have for all these podcasters. That's why we got Mike, our main technical support guy, on full time, so that he can be on the phone, that he can answer emails all day, that he can get on, go to meeting and share a screen with a podcaster and figure out what's wrong with their website or what's wrong with their feed. It's because we want to be available to these people, because podcasting is difficult at times, and it is confusing and frustrating, and we want to be there to make sure that it all goes well and all works together and, you know, results in a situation like yours when things work correctly and you're comfortable with it and you're happy with what you're getting. So we're very happy that when we're able to make that happen for people.
Yeah, because the other thing that I've kind of learned over this 1 year of podcasting is that podcasts are a lot closer to art than everybody thinks they are. And in my opinion, because at least for me, I'm a one-man band. I mean, I'm doing all the research, which is the bulk of the time. But then I got to do all the audio, all the publishing, all of everything. And so when you're doing all that, you really do feel some sort of creative accomplishment at the end, even though you're not doing, you're doing technical stuff. And so it's really nice to have somebody that cares as much about your little product as you do, tries to help you get over the, the humps that ought to be easy to get over so that the hard part, the creative part, you know, the host can focus on, because that's what it's about.
Well, that's what we know. We know that, you know, we are a company providing services to people that are doing this as a hobby, that don't have the technical support and information and guidance with them. And we're happy to provide that to people because we know that they could easily be left in the dark with someone else.
Well, and you can make it overcomplicated too, as you're trying to learn lingo. I mean, if you're a historian, or if you're a whatever your show's going to be about, and you know, you don't want to have to be a web developer, and you don't want to have to be a audio engineer, any of those things. So a great service is to take all that.
Absolutely away. Not. No one wants to be a web developer when they just want to be a podcaster.
Exactly.
So what's your favorite part about your podcast?
I would say my favorite part about it, I think two things. I love the scholarship because that's just kind of the detective stuff. And I've gotten a lot of feedback about episodes that people want me to do. So I have well over 100 future episodes on a list. And just the idea of learning all that Texas history is fun for me. And then the I guess, sense of accomplishment that I'm actually contributing to the history community in a different way is fun. And I've been doing a lot of speaking engagements related to this podcast. People hear about it and they book me to talk. I mean, I do it for free. I say book me. They just ask me and I say yes. But, you know, it's just people are enthusiastic about it. And I love that part of it. And I like, you know, there are several other sort of intangible reasons that I like producing the history, because it teaches us. I think history education in general suffers. I think the hunger is there, but I don't think that it's being taught like it should be taught. And Texas is so directly connected to its history because it's a fairly young place, and things that we encounter today as a state, we can tie directly back to our history. I mean, Texas is known as a great state to do business, for example. Well, I can tell you some things that happened before the Civil War that are perfect examples of why that's true. And those things, that spirit, still exists today. So that's a lot of fun for me to be involved in that and to promote it. I talk about on some of the episodes, you know, I'm here to preserve and promote Texas history so that people will know. Residents of Texas primarily, but, you know, the podcast is being downloaded all over the world. But, you know, the people will know where we came from, and that they will preserve the uniqueness that really is Texas. And yes, I am bragging about Texas, and I'm not ashamed.
but that's also why people want to listen to the show. It's because you are genuinely happy to be providing this information in this format and creating these episodes for people in a way that they're going to enjoy learning about this history. Because let's be honest, not everyone wants to, if it wasn't coming in a format such as your podcast episodes, people possibly wouldn't care about a lot of these stories. It's that when you create the beginning and middle and end and fully create something with this, instead of just like, oh, well, here's a fact here and there's another fact about this situation, it's a lot more interesting to hear coming from someone like this in this way.
Yeah, and it's fun. One of the little, my introduction episode talks about a couple of things that I like, the way I approach the history. And one of the things I really like to do is go back to firsthand accounts and primary sources that others may overlook because it just wouldn't fit into a scholarly book or whatever, and find those little stories and those little connections and those little details that are often very entertaining and funny. You know, one of my favorite examples is there's a great Texas hero named Erastus Smith. Well, the way he came to join the army was that he was mad at some of the guards in a particular city. And so in a huff, he went and joined the rebellion. Well, then he became one of the greatest heroes in Texas history, but it all started because he got angry at a guy. And just stuff like, you know, I didn't know that, I mean, at the time. And stuff like that's just fun to find out and fun to share.
Right, to get those interesting tidbits in.
Right.
So how long does it take you to prepare for an episode if you're doing all of this research and, you know, even getting firsthand experiences and everything? That seems like it would take like possibly weeks to formulate an episode.
Well, it I'm going to cry a little bit. Yeah, it does. It takes a long time, and I've got to, you know, it's hard to balance. And that's why occasionally, you know, my production schedule, I might take an extra week because I'd rather it be good than released on a particular day.
Mm-hmm.
It takes probably, I'd say, 3 to 1 research to recording or production. So if it takes me 2 hours to produce and publish an episode, which is record, edit, and publish and do some social media promotion about it, if that takes 2 hours and that's about the minimum for an episode, then I'm going to have spent 6 hours researching.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually longer than that. And it also depends on how quickly I sort of mine the story out of the facts, because, you know, again, I don't want to give everybody every fact that I find. And I also don't want to use sources that aren't good historical scholarship sources. And so if I can easily go back to more primary sources, then it takes much less time.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the first thing I do is sort of formulate the story I want to tell. And then, of course, that directs the research. So I'm firing rifle shots rather than shotgun shots. So that makes it a lot quicker once I get over that hump. But there are plenty of episodes where I'm struggling, you know, 2 or 3 days before I record with how I'm going to approach it. And then some come together super fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as of today, I'm a little bit ahead of schedule, but I'm sure 2 weeks from now I'll be behind. So.
It all evens out in the end.
It all evens out, hopefully, yes.
It's almost like you have another full-time job.
Sometimes it feels that way,
mm-hmm.
but it's so much fun. It's just...
It ends up being worth it.
Worth it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for sharing about your show. So how can people find your show?
Well, we're on all the major platforms, on Blueberry, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. I can't name them all. I'm on all those.
Mm-hmm.
Have a website, wiseabouttexas.com. And I'm on Facebook at Wise About Texas, Twitter, and Instagram at Wise About Texas. So that's all easy to find. And you can click that Blueberry subscription module right there. And
they're good to go.
Phone.
Yeah. Yeah, you are definitely covered on all platforms. So I'll include some links to those as well in the show notes. But
all right.
Anyone that is interested in Texas, check out Wise About Texas with Ken Wise. So we've got one last thing for this episode. And the article was called "Try Out This Open Source Tool for Editing Video and Audio Transcripts." It's from Neiman Lab, and they are talking about a new open source tool called Auto Edit. And it works with, I believe, the IBM, the IPA, or the API, that's what it is. IPA is not right. I know that is not right.
IPA sounds good, though.
It does. It always does. But so they can use, they're basing it off the IBM API and the Gentle editing source that does the same thing that creates a transcript. And with this, they're adding some editing features, and it's still in the testing mode, but I don't know when it's going to come out.
Well, it's pretty interesting. I was messing with it on their website, and I did their demo, and
mm-hmm.
it really is pretty interesting because you can click on the words, and it'll take you right to the part of the video where those words are. It's a great tool for lawyers, which is a little bit off topic, but lawyers use video depositions all the time. This would be outstanding for young lawyers.
Yeah, I imagine it would. And it's always good for podcasters that want to use their shows for creating other kinds of, you know, other formats of their content that they already have, turning it into an audiobook or a PDF or, you know, an ebook, anything like that. This is helpful for them.
Yeah, and video is such an important part of it. And I sense that video is becoming a little more important, mm-hmm. in podcasting. So this is certainly a tool that would make it a lot easier.
I think lots of people do live shows with video for their podcast. And if they want to make it available to watch later on as well, this would be a great way. This is great to get that transcript as well. Because that's also another way to reach a potential audience is, you know, people that don't want to listen to audio, but especially if it's a short podcast, just could read a short transcript of it. That's going to get them in too.
Well, and the website was talking about chopping up a video by searching by word. You know, if you say, well, so-and-so gave a speech, it's on video. They talked about podcasting. Well, you just go search for podcast, click on it, and all of a sudden you're at the video, at the part of the video that you want. So you don't have to watch the whole thing and guess where they are.
Mm-hmm. So you checked it out a little bit, and you can try it out on the link from this article. But it's saying that they've already used it and that it's been going well. So I don't know when it's going to come out. I really want to know.
Yeah, I couldn't tell when they were going to release it. But
I don't know.
Those developers are never happy, which they're never ready to release, which is probably a good attitude.
I know. Well, it is open source. So they will most likely always be tweaking with this because I feel like that happens a lot with open source things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming from, it's called Auto Edit and is being developed by Night Mozilla. No. Seems cool and helpful, and I'm sure there's a ton of you out there that are going to want to tinker with this just like you did. Check it out. And that's really all I have to say about that. Anything else?
No, I think we've covered some good bases.
Yeah. Okay, well, Ken, thanks so much for being on this episode of the PowerPress Podcast. And anyone that is interested in his show can find the links on the show notes for this. And that's all we have for today.
Well, thanks, Mackenzie. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks.